Hello, this is Dr. Daniel Vinograd. I'm a biological dentist in San Diego, and I'd like to speak with you today about dental phobia or fear of the dentist. I think a great majority of the patients, the new patients that I see, are afraid of the dentist, and I would venture to guess that there's a large segment of the population that to some degree or another are very afraid of going to the dentist. And sometimes the question of when did this fear come about comes up. And I'd like to propose something a little bit different, a different way of looking at it, which is that we are born with fear and anxiety. It is not that we develop fear for things, but that we are actually born with fear and anxiety. And let me elaborate a little bit. When we are first born, as humans, as human animals, we are probably the most vulnerable animal, not really being able to fend for ourselves whatsoever, and totally dependent on caretakers. I can only imagine that that's got to be a very anxiety-producing situation. And we don't know when we're laying in our crib whether that shadow approaching us is our mother coming to feed us or an animal coming to eat us. So I am here theorizing that we are born with a high degree of anxiety and fear, which actually serves us to survive. Now, what happens? How do we deal with this inherent existential anxiety that I'm proposing we are all born with? And I am again suggesting that how we deal with that is we balance it with our ability to connect with other people, starting with caretakers, which could be mom or dad or whoever is taking care of us. As we begin to be taken care of, we start developing some trust, and that trust brings about some comfort. It really varies from person to person based on the experiences that they have as infants and young children, whether a good sense of comfort, a good sense of trusting is developed out of early relationships or not. Now, if we are in fact able to connect well with other people, as it is in our nature, part of our brain, the limbic brain, that we share with other mammals, really compels us to connect with other people as a survival mechanism, and that is what brings about a lot of the comfort. So my suggestion here is that when we first go or have gone to the dentist, there's a certain degree of apprehension, and there's a certain degree of hope that we are not going to get hurt. So in a way, we're kind of sitting on the fence when we go see a health professional, but even more so a dentist. And what I am suggesting here is that we have all had various degrees of experiences with the dentist, some painful, some less painful, but in the past, a large number of those experiences have been uncomfortable at best and painful in their most part. My contention here is that we go to the dentist for the first time and we get hurt, and that really erodes the trust that we were hoping to develop and allows the fear and the anxiety to emerge once again. Now, how do we go from here? How do we actually take care of this issue? Well, a lot of people are looking for dentists that will sedate them or that would basically put them out altogether. And, you know, that is the solution that happens to help the patient get treatment for that particular instance. But, in fact, we are only just postponing the inevitable and maybe making the fear of dentists even more acute. So I believe long term that is not a good solution, although it could be used on an emergency basis or when very, very expensive treatment is going to be performed. So my suggestion is that because of those experiences in the past, we have had a lot of imprinting and hence some hesitation to go back to the dentist. And what I want to talk about today is the difference between dental work even a decade ago and what can happen today. In our office, we're incredibly aware of the fact that most people have had some kind of a traumatic or painful experience at the dentist that has actually become a problem for them when they go to the dental office. And of course, it varies from person to person. But our commitment to our patients is, number one, to have good communication so that if there is anything that is uncomfortable, they can tell us and we can immediately take care of them. Second rule is not to hurt the patient. And our third rule is not to hurt the patients. And you might ask, how is that possible? And it is quite possible. As a matter of fact, we really don't hurt our patients, with very, very, very few exceptions, when a patient might be coming in with a very hot tooth or that needs to be treated. In most instances, we can actually just medicate and bring that tooth down to a manageable condition and then treat it there. So very, very seldomly will our patients experience any pain at all. I would say at most some minor discomfort, but no more than that. So how can we make a commitment not to hurt our patients? And it really is about state-of-the-art dentistry, about dentistry today versus dentistry 30 years ago, even 20 or 10 years ago. So with the advent of lasers and surgical microabrasion units and electrical motors that can actually work at very, very low speeds versus the old motors that would only work at 200, 250, 300,000 RPMs, creating a great deal of heat. These electric motors actually work much cooler with lots of water, and so very often we can actually do fillings without having to even anesthetize the patient, and the patient will experience absolutely no pain. Now, when in fact an anesthetic is needed, and you know, we will always make that decision for the patient so that we can keep the patient totally comfortable and out of pain. There are nowadays some very powerful topical anesthetics, little pastes that we can use at the beginning of the session that can numb the gums quite nicely even before we get started. And we can use pH neutral anesthetics that the patient can hardly feel. I am not surprised anymore, but I'm always quite happy to hear most of my patients say that the discomfort was either minimum or they did not feel the anesthetic at all. So again, we are all in a journey to try to cross this bridge together side by side with trusting relationships. And of course, the trust has to come about first by the dentist committing not to hurt the patient, and secondly, by the patient being willing to trust once again. Thank you.